Hey, this is the GMX, CEO of HS, CEO of Elite Pro Wrestling, GM of the Belltime Club and Test of Strength, and you are watching the Three Count Podcast.
Do you want to get live with me? Do you really want to ride with me? I'm in the club, baby, grind on me.
Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast presents Now Inch Ring, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up the mountain called wrestling. And by season five, our 300-and-something episode, I would just hope you say it with me, I am your Sherpa, because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good Sherpa, you got to have someone who's been there, done that, and can do it more efficiently than you can. That's why it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering? You can find this man at TOS. You can find this man at MLW. You can find this man at the Wrestling Open. You can find this man at a lot of different places. Man is so busy, his phone be ringing off the hook continuously. He is the CEO of everything you know and then some. You can find this man. He is a manager. He is an owner. He is a designer. He is GMX.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Red Dog. Appreciate the opportunity to sit there, sit here and sit down with you and, you know, talk to biz. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Doing great. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you meet a lot of people in this business and then you try to learn and how to network and bring everything together. So I thought for me, because like I'm a lot older in the game, right? Not like time, but just like age. I wanted to like spend the 10,000 hours to like get better. And so like I develop a podcast to network with people and get to meet them and pick their brain about the business. So it's always been kind of cool to like expand this out and like reach out to new places and new people and learn new ideas from everybody.
And that's awesome, man. It's never too late to start. I mean, you know, Diamond Dallas Page didn't take his first bump till he was 35. You know what I mean? So look at him, Hall of Famer, you know, hell of a career. Awesome stories that he could tell you, you know. So don't ever sell yourself short. You know, time is a construct, you know. Time is what you make it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But there are days where I wake up and I'm like, I definitely feel 39. And there are days where I wake up and I'm like, I don't feel so bad.
Hey, man, you know, it's going to hurt. It's always going to hurt. You know what I mean? You just got to make sure that what you're hurting for brings you happiness. You know, it fulfills you in other ways. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like we run two wrestling schools, you know, like all the boys, you know, they go home, they're sore that night. They wake up the next morning, and you know, they're happy for the toll that they paid because of where they're going. So you just, yeah, as long as it fulfills you, man, don't stop. Keep it going.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I enjoy this thing called professional wrestling. Like, I love like taking bumps. I do love like telling fun stories. I love the character side of things. I think that's the important part, is like people want to genuinely connect with a person, but they want to feel like they're a part of something big too, right? So like another a person that comes to mind, right, when I think about like the Wrestling Open, Ichiban is like that guy, right, where like the crowd connects him because he can get those people hyped and they get behind him, especially when it's they're like you're hitting a 10 count and you just hear the crowd one 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 and you're like, wow.
Well like, see, here's the thing with guys like Ichiban, man. It's like yeah, wrestling's on the marquee, you gotta know how to wrestle, right? But it's not just the wrestling, you know. When he comes out there, it's a synergy with the people. Like, he gives them him, you know, and they respect him for it, they accept him for it, and that's why that reception is so organic with him wherever he goes, you know, whether he's at Beyond or Wrestling Open or Blitzkrieg or MLW, you know. Yeah. Wherever we go, you know, the number one dojo shows up in full force because of what he leaves in the ring, you know. And that's something that you can't really teach, you know. I can teach you the psychology of wrestling. I could teach you how to take a bump. I could teach you how to hit the ropes, you know. We do that every single day. But giving yourself to the people is something that has to happen from you, you know what I mean? And it takes a long time to develop that. But you have to be willing to do it. You know what I mean? It's like that old saying, you don't want to give a woman more than you want her to leave with. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing in wrestling, man. The more you give, you know, the more they'll take, and the more they take, the more they accept. So you have to do that.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, like, recently, and people who pay attention to the episode will know, like, what date we're kind of, like, talking about this. But I recently just did a show for Next Up Pro Wrestling in Hampton, Virginia. And awesome. It was so much fun because, like, I got to team up with my boys that I haven't seen in a few months. So we all got to work together, and I was just managing. Like, that's all I was doing. I was just on the outside, just being a nuisance, working heel. And it was funny because, like, I was connecting with the crowd and just, like, giving them reasons to, like, boo us, right? Mm-hmm. And there was this one guy in a crowd in particular who he had a bald head. Like, I don't know his name, and sorry. And if you're watching this episode, you know who you are. But he had hair on the side of his head, and he started, like, he's just barking at me and just barking. And I was like, bro, I'm going to be honest. And I told him, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't understand anything you say because the glare on your dome is just blinding the hell out of me. And he goes, well, why don't you take off your hat? Show us your hair. And I was like, fine. It's like, you wish you had hair like mine. And, like, it just shut down the whole conversation.
And, like, that's awesome.
As soon as our boys won, I just looked at him. I was like, you big mad, bro. He was like,
no, and you know, down south is such a different crowd than what we see up here in the Northeast. You know, they're really big on heat and hero. You know, they're really big on that. They eat that up. Sorry, you know, background noise is not at a public place, but
it's all good.
But yeah, man, the art of wrestling still lives down there, you know, and I tell all the boys, you know, any chance that you get to work down south, do it, because there's nothing like it. You know, there's a reason AWA was timeless. There's a reason why Crockett Promotions were so epic, you know, and why Jerry Lawler, you know, did all the amazing things that he did in Memphis. You know, that crowd, that energy down south is it can be scary, especially when you don't look like the people down south, but it's also very rewarding to perform in front of.
Yeah. It's been fun because, like, being from that, I was living in Maryland right before I moved up to Massachusetts, getting to work in the DMV, you know, between Virginia, Delaware, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and into Maryland, obviously. And then coming up north and getting to work in Connecticut and Maine and stuff. It is, like, there's a big contrast, and it is cool to be able to, like, I get to adapt and learn and pull and push myself into different ways. And it's so rewarding when I hear, like, the crowd either cheering for me or they're booing me. I don't really care. I just want your reactions. And it's fun to always get those reactions.
That's our job, man. Our job is to get that reaction from the crowd, to play their emotions like an instrument, you know? I feel like nowadays wrestling has become really selfish. Where a lot of talent wrestle for them. And that's the worst thing that you can do, because your job is not to entertain yourself. You're supposed to be there and work for the crowd. And when you work for the crowd, man, you get so much more out of it. You get so much more out of it. You know, I know guys that can hit a 630, but can't sell a t-shirt because they don't connect with the crowd. You know what I mean? Like, there's things that you have to do. There's levels to that. And just being one of the people is the easiest way to make it in this business, man. Like, you gotta make them either love you or hate you, but you have to make them love you or hate you for the way you make them feel, not just because they can't stand you. You know what I mean? Like this go away heat is very different than I'm booing you because you're a villain, you know?
Yeah. I feel like, and I that's why I appreciate the challenge, because I know a lot of people tell me that, like, whenever you get booked somewhere, they usually tend to book you as a face because they want to see if you could connect with the crowd. And I appreciate that challenge. I'm not afraid to, like, go run after it, because I think it's very important that, like, if a crowd could connect with you as a face, when you turn heel, it just makes it that much easier and then, like, that much sweeter when they boo you and then when they come back to cheering you.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's sometimes hard to get over as a baby face, because especially when you're young, when you're first new in the game, you're too self-conscious, right? You're still doubting yourself, second guessing yourself. So it's hard to get over as a baby face. That's why a lot of guys start off as as a villain, because when you're doing all this obnoxious stuff that you don't naturally do, you know what I mean? You can kind of separate yourself from the character, because that's the character taking over at that point. But what they don't realize is that it's the same thing on both ends. I mean, you could be the nicest guy in the world and be a terrible baby face. You know, you have to believe that. So that's a unique challenge to many different people. But that's where your basics come in, right? Like, the easiest way to be a baby face is to out wrestle the villain, to, you know, follow the rules, you know, to make sure that the crowd knows what the rules are so that the villain can cheat on them, you know? Because if the villain is cheating and the crowd doesn't know what rules are established, that doesn't mean anything,
right?
You know? So that's the type of thing that you need to get over.
Yeah, I feel like, and that's the thing too, is like, you've got to be able to remember, like, when you're working, right, or you're in the game, like, it's always about, you don't have, whatever Red Dog does, right, Cliff isn't that person. Like, that's a whole different person. And maybe there might be elements to it that is the same, but I feel like a lot of people just forget that. They're like, oh, well, if I do this, people are going to boo me, or they're going to hate me for this, or I'm going to get canceled because I said something. And I'm like, bro, it's not going to happen. you know, let those fears go.
The cancel culture is ridiculous. And wrestling fans nowadays have become so toxic with it that they forget to enjoy wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't cancel a villain for being a villain. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Tom Richardson from 42nd Main Street didn't say that. That was Filthy Tom Sawyer. You know what I mean? Whatever his gimmick is, like, it's a character that he's playing. You know, you don't go on Twitter and curse out Martin Scorsese because, you know, Robert De Niro said the N-word in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I don't understand what this entitlement is. You gotta just, you know, just enjoy it for what it is, you know? As long as people aren't doing any real life evil, then just enjoy wrestling and stop trying to dictate it. Like, just be a fan, enjoy the ride, you know? Let the performers take you on whatever journey this story takes, you know? I think everybody's so quick to jump on Twitter or on Facebook and complain and complain and complain until they get their way. But bro, getting your way is boring. It's boring. If you know what's going to happen all the time because you're begging and pleading for it, you're never going to be entertained. So never. Just enjoy the business.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I did a promo with Pure Ignorance, and it was myself and my boy Prince Machiavelli. We were running as a tag team. Okay. And it was the first time that we've ever done a promo together, right? So we did one where it was like, well, it was our second, actually. But we were doing one where I was writing a letter to him about some tights that he had made. And I was like, I didn't know what colors to use in your tights, but it was because of the Grimy Scott saying that we're a hot cup of coffee. I was like, that's it. I'm going to make his tights black. And then we're going to add a little cream to it because cream always rises to the top. And I was like, is that racist? Is that how you get canceled? It's like, how do you get canceled? Is there a button that you push? And do you push that button a million times? Or does a million people push the button one time? Like, people just they laugh their ass off because they're like, oh, is that racist? They're like, yo.
No, it's and it's funny because, you know, you gotta walk on eggshells around everything. But at the same time, you made light of a serious situation, and that's really what wrestling is supposed to be. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to forget our mundane, terrible everyday lives, our 9-to-5s, our routines, and enjoy something different for the art of it, you know? And we just, as long as we keep doing that, then, you know, we're doing something, we're pushing it forward.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Let me ask you this question. What was the moment that brought you into the business?
The moment that brought me into the business, what do you mean? It made me a fan, or the moment that I decided I needed to get in the business?
That.
Moment I decided I needed to get in the business. It was about 2:15 in the morning, and I just watched ECW. And there was a commercial for the House of Hardcore. And I was 14 years old. And I just saw Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko wrestle. And I was like, I need to do this. You know, I was doing judo at the time. I was wrestling in high school at the time. And I said, I need to do this. So I called the number. I left a message. They called me back the next day. And I got my ass to Philadelphia from the Bronx. And that's how it started.
Yo, first, like, Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko, like, masterclass. Yeah,
that's how it started. I was 14. I lied. I said I was 16 so that I could train because they wouldn't let me. My very first bump, I got a concussion because someone who I'm not going to name didn't teach us how to hit the ropes or anything, but wanted to practice very dangerous collar and elbow suplexes on us. So, But then I met Perry Saturn and everything changed. So.
Well, that worked out, I guess. Mm-hmm. Also, member of the Radicals, you know, so, you know, look at that.
Yeah.
You got there.
Yeah, I mean, 3 to 4. You know, learning from Perry was different, man. You know, like that, the way those Kowalski guys train, man, it was just different. You know, it was no nonsense. It was very militant, but very precise. And it was protect your body first and learn the situation second, you know what I mean? Which is great because I feel like a lot of schools try to push people into the deep end or students nowadays, you know, they see, oh, I watch 20 episodes of wrestling a week. You know, I know how to do this. It's not like that, you know, like it's really not, it's not a mattress, you know, that you're bumping on. It hurts. And I don't care if you have the best ring in the world, it still hurts. And, you know, just not tucking your chin correctly will ruin your day. The rope burn will ruin your day. You know, there's plenty of times that I couldn't sleep on my side that I like to sleep on because my ribs were burned raw, you know? So you guys gotta, there's a lot of sacrifice in this, and not everybody's willing to pay it.
It's very true. Now, like, I had gone down to it's funny because, like, one of the things I used to, when I first started training in Maryland, we were training outside, and it was like February. I had only been doing it for like a month, and I thought, like, the greatest thing for me to try at 30 degrees in February in Maryland was to try Kira Tozawa's giant senton splash, and that ring did not give. Nor did anything else except the air in my lungs.
You should have bumped on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, probably had the same effect.
Oh yeah, no, you probably would have been better off, you know.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, I learned how to bump in a boxing ring, man. Not fun.
Yeah, I bumped in a couple boxing rings. I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. I see why those guys, you know, get hit and then their head dribbles off the ground and they don't get back up because they're gone. Yep.
There's nothing.
If the
there.
Punch didn't do it, that did. So,
facts. So let me ask, man, because I'm kind of curious to hear this, man. What's one of the worst bumps you've either taken or seen?
The worst bump I ever took was my very first bump. It was that collar and elbow suplex I told you about. How I have a neck, I still don't know. it was not good. I've seen some really ugly ones, man. I just saw one. A guy goes for a 630 and lawn darts himself. I've seen a guy go for a tope and get caught on the top rope and then smash his teeth onto the edge of the apron, you know. I've seen a lot of things that could have been avoided, you know. And then there's bumps that look routine and everything should be all right, but something's a little off and it's different, you know. Like what the muscle buster on Tyson Kidd, you know, right. Like that was tragic, you know. Masawa, rest in peace, passed away on a bump that he's did a million times, you know. Back suplex off the top rope. That was his last bump, you know. I saw Hayabusa snap his neck. You know, there's things like that that, you know, stay with you, stay with you, you know. I wish that I didn't see a lot of that stuff, man. A lot of those guys, you know, legends that we don't have today because of, you know, bad bumps or not taking care of their bodies the way they should, you know. Which is why I'm always harping on my guys. You know, I'm always on Sammy Diaz and always on Kylan King, always on Flash, always on Ichiban about protecting themselves, you know, and not taking these unnecessary bumps and working smarter. And, you know, it's hard to tell these guys anything because they're the best in the freaking game, right? But that doesn't mean I'm not going to, you know, they do a destroyer that they shouldn't do and I see a bump that shouldn't happen. It could be 3 a.m. I'm blowing up their phone and I'm cursing them out, you know? It's just, it is what it is, you know? That's this, it's the father in me, you know? I'm gonna look out for those guys because this is what I do it for, you know? I'm never getting in the ring again. So I do this now for that, you know? That's my job now, is to enhance their minds and their psychology and, you know, put them in positions to succeed and, you know, make sure that their name gets heard around the world. You know, that's my job and my responsibility as a booker, as a trainer, you know. I tell those guys all the time, my job is to make it so that I could never afford to book you ever again. You know, that's my job. You know, the day that these guys have contracts that I can't even match one date on, I'll be the happiest man alive. You know, because that's what it is. It's about them.
See, and I like that. I like the aspect of that you're here to push them, right? Because I think that's what a lot of people kind of forget, is that, like, while everybody is doing, like, their thing, it is still kind of like a team thing. Like, you're still, like...
No, it's all a team thing. It's all a team thing. Like, what good does it do me as a promoter that one guy in my roster is over? Doesn't do anything for me, you know. If Ichiban doesn't have the Kylan King, the Brad Hollister, the Alec Price, the Channing Thomas, the Russell, then what is it gonna, you know, what is he gonna do? He can't wrestle himself, you know. I mean, man, Ichiban could probably go out there and wrestle a broom and give you a 5-star, but it's not, you know what I mean? That's not what it's here for, you know. You got to make everybody around you better, you know. In different ways and at different times. Because if everybody's over, then nobody's over, right? But if everybody knows when to pick and choose their spots and be the best at certain things, then everybody can shine. And that's the way you got to look at it. You know, there's ebbs and flows to this.
I like that. I like that. Because I feel like for me, like, I, you know, like developing my moveset and stuff like that, and just like figuring out where I feel like I'm gonna shine. Like, I don't like taking like crazy bumps. I'm not one of those guys, right? I can do some of those crazy bumps, necessary. But I just choose. Yeah. And for me, it's like, I've legit tell people, like, I have 5 wrestling moves. It's just what I tell them.
Listen, you're at Bio, so you know, Tom Santel, he told me, that man right there, the pro wrestling Rain Man, probably the greatest mind in the history of wrestling, is Tom Santel. I love you, Promise. Appreciate you, brother. He told me something that'll stick with me to the day that I die. He said, wrestling moves don't mean shit. It's how you go in and out of them. Mm. And ever since I started looking at wrestling from those lights, from that perspective, bro, I appreciate it so much more. It's like I unlocked the Da Vinci code. Like, everything finally made sense, you know?
I like that, actually. I'm going to have to remember that and write that down.
I mean, think about it. Like, as a wrestling fan, think about the moments in wrestling that you hold with you forever. It's never a spot. It's a feeling. And you got that feeling from the way they went in and out of those situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
yeah, because I could tell you, like, for me, the moment that I, like, decided I was like, I need to get into wrestling, right, was February 14, 2011. And if you know, you know. If you don't know, I'm going to tell you anyway, because I love this moment. It's when The Rock came back to be the guest host at WrestleMania. Like, I remember the date. I remember where I was. I was still in the military. I was in Hawaii. I was getting ready to, like, just try to figure out what my next move was going to be. And the electrical, like, when I tell you the story in person, right, we'll meet up. And you'll just see all the goosebumps race down my arm. And at that moment, I was like, I feel like this is what's being called to me right now, is to do this. And I put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off all the way up until 2020. And I was like, yeah, we're going to go do this. And we're going to go get this done. Because I definitely enjoyed where I'm at with it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I remember being a kid and watching, you know, the Macho Man Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat. And I didn't understand the art of wrestling then, but I saw them wrestle and it made me realize that no one else in that locker room at that at the time could do what these guys did. Right. You know, it was an awe eye-opening moment. You know, like I remember going to the Garden and seeing Michael Jordan put up 61, you know. And I'm in Madison Square Garden. I got my Patrick Ewing jersey on. And this guy came and obliterated probably the greatest Knicks team of all time and got a standing ovation for it because New York couldn't believe what they just saw. Right. You know what I mean? And it was the same thing when I saw Savage and Steamboat. It was like two people should not be able to do this at this level. And they did, you know, and then I never thought I'd see anything like that. And then I got to see Bret the Hitman Hart wrestle.
Mm.
And people can have all the arguments they want to have and say who's the greatest ever, blah, blah, blah. It's Bret the Hitman Hart, and it's not even close. You know what I mean? What he could do in the ring, he never lied to you. He told you he was the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. I've been in the business 20 years. I've been watching it since I was 3 years old. I still haven't seen anyone better.
I like that. Never lied
to me.
I got you. I like that. I like that. Hey, so let me ask you, because now you've been in, like you said, you've been in the business for 20 plus years, right? What's one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn being in the business?
That not everybody takes the word brother as serious as they should. You know, like mm-hmm. where I'm from, you know, that word means something. And professional wrestlers, we're a fraternity. You know what I mean? We should be able to count on each other and rely on each other, you know, when we're out there in the world, because a lot of the times it's just us against the world out there. You know what I mean? And yeah, you meet some good brothers along the way. There's a lot of them that really believe in that code and have that old school mentality, you know? But then there's a lot of people that are your brother when it's convenient, you know? There's a lot of people that I've reached out to, you know, and said, hey, man, I'm doing a memorial show for one of our brothers that passed. I can't make it that weekend, brother. I got a date. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, you were in this man's car. You know, he was driving you to the airport. You can't go on a date Friday instead of Saturday. You know what I mean? So that's one of those lessons that I had to learn, that, you know, brother doesn't mean the same thing to everyone that it should. And then you learn not to give those people your time or your effort. You know what I mean? Like you see them and you stay casual with them. You shake their hand because that's what you do in the business. But you know that when shit hits the fan, that's not a person that you can turn to, you know. I'm blessed to have a lot of good brothers, you know. Ryan Frost, Ichiban, Sammy Diaz, Kylon King, Flash Waller, Alec Price, Channing Thomas, Thomas Santel, Big Bacon, Brad Hollister, Hammer Tunis, you know, my OGs, Bo Douglas, Slick Wagner Brown. I got a lot of friends and family through this business that's what keeps me in the business. That's what keeps me going strong. You know, Jacob Fatu, shout out Big Oos. You know, those are my guys, and those people that I could call at 2 a.m. They're gonna answer the phone. You know what I mean? So
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. I like that a lot, because I know for me, like, that word brother, like, means something. So when you do say something like that, hey, if the moment that you use that word incorrectly, like, we no longer become friends. Yeah. We will just separate and go. I'll be professional with you and have conversations with you, but it don't mean that I'm gonna be like, "Yo, what's up, bro?" It's not gonna be that. It's, not necessary. And I've lost a lot of brothers from, like, you know, the military, as well as, you know, just like home life. And I was like, I don't got time to waste time. Like, so either you're in or you're out. And if you're out, hey, no disrespect, no harm, no foul. But if you're in and then you get out, hey, man, I don't wish the worst things on you. But if you won the lottery and lost your ticket, hey, man, tough breaks in these streets.
Yeah, man. You know, that's the other lesson that I could probably say is, like, don't worry about what people say about you when you're in the room. You know what I mean? Worry about what they say about you when your back is turned, you know? Yeah. And that's really important. You know, that's one of those lessons that I learned from Low Key, you know. Another great brother, man, for real. Owe a lot to him. Honestly, the reason I'm probably still alive having this conversation with you today is because of Low Key and what he's done for me. So, you know, it's just, you have to, like, really be careful, you know, with who you trust, because a lot of people, like I said, they're fair weather friends. You know, they're your friends when it's convenient for them, when you can do something for them, when they want a booking, when they're, hey, can you talk to this promoter for me? Or, you know, oh, I need some merch. You think you could help me out, brother? You know, it's like, okay. But what happens when I'm not in the room? You know, so that's one of those lessons that I think a lot of young guys should learn to, you know, be careful who you put your trust in, and trust their actions and their patterns, you know, not necessarily their words.
I like that. Hey, so we're going to jump this over to my favorite part of the 3-Count podcast, and it is the 3-Count podcast 10-Count questions. And Mr. GMX, this is how it works. I'm going to fire off 10 questions at you rapid fast, and whatever your answer is, that's your answer.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to put on imaginary timer for added pressure. Bing. And in the words of my favorite commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown.
Favorite movie?
Silence of the Lambs.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Android.
Favorite cartoon?
Batman the Animated Series.
Let's go. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Favorite actor?
Al Pacino.
Let's go. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Favorite podcast?
Come on, man. It's the 3-Count pod, baby.
That's right. It's not like we don't have this marketed everywhere for you to watch.
What's wrong with you, baby?
Nominate one person that you want to see on this podcast.
Damn, that's tough because there's so many people. But you know what? You should reach out to Big Bacon Brad Hollister. Congratulations, man. My man just became a dad.
Yeah, dad of two. Shout out to that man. Yeah. You know what's funny is that the majority of the names that you listed off about having on the that you've had, like, as your, that you consider your brothers, have been on this podcast. Slick, Dustin, Brad.
Yeah, those are my guys, man. Bacon is so cool, bro. He's like the coolest dude in the world. So just hearing him talk, the knowledge he gives you, you know, and how raw he gives it to you, you know what I mean? I think he's real he's cool to have on camera, you know.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun.
Wrestling open champ.
Yeah, currently.
That's right.
Last but not least, my favorite question to ask every single person who comes on this show. Favorite curse word?
My favorite curse word? Yeah, but I see. It's got to be fuck. Because it's a verb. It's an adjective. You know what I mean? It's a sound effect. You know, sometimes fuck doesn't even mean nothing. You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah, I got to go with fuck.
That's a great one. I love it because it's one of those words where I like to include it with other words. So I'll be like, yeah, incredible.
Like, it's, yeah, no, it's a sentence enhancer.
Yes.
What it is.
So those are all my questions for you, man. The last thing I need from you is to let all of our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you.
Well, you could find me at GM Alex Rojas on the socials, at Lit Pro Wrestling on the socials, at Test of Strength Wrestling 1 at the socials. And you can come to my next show, man, March 30th in Manchester, Connecticut at Building 4. Legacy is Timely presents Certified. And it's going to be an amazing event, man.
Hell yeah. So he gave you all of his handles. He told you where you can find him. He even gave you the date to his next show. And you know what to do, or you know what that means. Like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home, because this is the 3Count Podcast Presents Now Entering, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog, and the man that led you up that mountain called wrestling. And, you know, like I said, it's never about me. It's about who's entering the ring. So who's entering the ring? You see him right there, Mr. GMX himself. And you guys know what to do. Tune in to the next episode and be there. Or you legitimately follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're following us on Spotify. You're listening to us on Amazon Music. Or you're even checking us out on iHeartRadio or whatever that dumb jingle is that they do. You're buying all of our merch on Pro Wrestling Tees. You're even telling your mom, your dad, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandfather, your stepbrother, who you swore got removed off the family tree 3 or 4 times, your dog, your best friends, your enemies, because we love haters too. You're doing all that stuff, or you're really just kind of waiting for this episode to end. You're waiting for the outro, and then you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii. Bitch.
What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is to kind of show us some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast, or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, between time, love y'all.